Hello again, everybody. This is Wes Schaefer, the Sales Whisperer, along with my good old buddy, Roger Bauer, Social Media Ninja. And it's a sad day today because Roger's trying to squeeze me out already, telling me he's got a joke to start us off, you know, and I told him that's my job. But oh no, he's got all these fancy facts and all these fancy techniques. He's some fancy computer guy, and now he thinks he has some fancy pants jokes. So, I mean, so what am I? Am I just here for looks? Is that what you're telling me, Roger?
No, I'm trying to contribute a little bit of value to this as well. You know, I want to add culture to our listeners just like you do. And I heard something today. Heard something today on the radio that I just couldn't pass up. It had me cracking up on the way home as I was driving from getting something to eat. And a guy calls in to the University of Louisville call-in show and was talking about basketball. And he's a Kentucky fan. So I'll give you the definition. Today's definition for me is preference.
All right.
It is a verb to provide with or introduce. It can also be used as a noun, which would be a preliminary statement in a book by the author or editor, setting forth its purpose and scope, expressing acknowledgement of assistance from others, etc. First of all, let me preference this by saying I'm a Kentucky fan and an SEC fan. So there you go. I even got the dialect injected for our good buddy there, our Kentucky fan that called in. And
dialect? You use the dialect? I didn't know you couldn't have sugar.
Yeah, there you go. So there's the definition from my end. I've also got another one, but I won't spring that on people. I'll save it for tomorrow.
All right. So, hey, all right, I'm going to put you on the spot here real quick.
Uh-oh.
Have you messed around with these here fancy pants netbooks?
I have not.
Oh, all right. We're doing a little research. My, golly, I had maybe a 5-year-old Lenovo IBM ThinkPad T42. I was letting my kids use it for their little games, and instead of a blue screen of death, got the black screen of death. It said fan error.
Uh-oh. Wow.
And it boots up and shuts down. So
that's no good.
May get one of those little netbooks for my kids because my daughters use it for some of their games and some of the homeschooling programs we use our PC only.
Hey, I know you need to hit up that smartest IT guy ever.
Well, I know he's not a reseller though. He's too damn smart to be reselling, pushing products.
Well, you know, he probably knows something about him.
He could just tell me how to get 3 paper clips, a penny, and a soldering iron, and fix the computer.
Well, maybe that's what
really
you need.
I don't really want to do that.
Maybe that's what you need.
So we may be heading down to our local electronics store and get us one of them $257 netbook. And if we do, I'll let you know, brother.
All right.
We'll be and we'll have the local electronics company be our sponsor after we talk them up.
Ooh, now there you go. Now we're really talking.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Well, I know you got to have a definition. Don't be letting me down.
Oh, well, I do. I didn't, you know, I thought you might think I'd be showboating you by coming back with one as well. You know, I was going to let you kind of have the glory, and I was going to
get technical
and stuff today.
I want to share the stage, especially when you got something. When somebody calls in and gives you ammunition like preference, I mean, you've got to take advantage of that. That just doesn't, I mean, it was like it just dropped in my lap today. I had to do something with it. And, I mean, I had no choice, Wes. I mean, the guy called in, and he was all proud of himself and thought he was using big fancy words and, mm-hmm. you know, showing off his intelligence as a UK fan and showing he got his preference.
And, I'm going to preference this.
That's right. I'm going to preference this by telling you I'm a Kentucky fan, like we couldn't tell.
Well, you know why the University of Tennessee Volunteers wear orange, huh?
I think I've heard this one, but
that's just right off the cuff. I mean, because they can come. They got their uniform on for work. They go straight to the game, and they leave straight from the game out to the hunting lodge, and they never have to change clothes. love our Southern folk, though, you know. So, hey, well, we'll use that as a joke for the day. Tomorrow, I'll give you the Ebonics term for omelet.
Uh-oh. That ought to be good.
So what you got for us today?
Well, I'm looking at social media today, one of the frequent haunts on this, and there is a slide share on there that's 46 slides, but it's 5 ways to integrate social media with traditional marketing. And I think this is something that, I mean, we're not going to go over all 46 slides in here, but if the people out there listening get a chance, hop on over to social media today and take a look at this slide share presentation, because a lot of the questions we get, Wes, are, you know, how do I measure social media marketing? Is there really a return on investment? How do you monitor that stuff? And it ties into a lot of the old traditional metrics, and that's what this whole presentation is kind of about, to help you kind of tie the two together. And you've said it before, Wes, that social media is just another medium to reach your target audience, spread your word, generate awareness, so forth and so on. So this might help some of our listeners to figure out how to tie the two together and how to come up with those traditional metrics that are vexing for a lot of people.
Wow.
Yeah, vexing. There you go.
Man.
You like that?
I'm going to have to look that one up. You keep
talking. Ever since you tossed out emboldened, I've had to come up with a different word. And, I mean, thank God for that UK fan today showing off his massive intelligence.
I get one word a month, and you got to show me up for a week. I just came out.
Oh, I appreciate it. Emboldened. I heard somebody use that during a football game the other night, and I couldn't believe it. I started laughing, and some of my buddies looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, "What's so funny about that?" And I'm like, "Ah, you'd have to hear old Sales Whisperer on there talking about emboldened the other day."
Hey, I'm emboldened in my flag fan. I keep saying flag football because I coach my boys. Fantasy football league number one, baby, 6-2, all alone at the top, talking some smack to my boys. You know, humility is one of my greater traits, as you can see.
All right, here's another little post on social media today. It's 3-step social media adoption plan. Number one is devise an appropriate, tactically agnostic social media strategy, which we've been telling people all along that you have to have a strategy before you start any of this stuff. Otherwise, it's going to be just like you're traveling down some wild path, and you're going to be this like the fox as opposed to being the hedgehog, to where every time you see something that looks interesting that you want to eat or chase or hunt or whatever, you go chasing all off in the woods all over the place and try to catch the rabbit, and then you try to catch the possum, then you try to catch a squirrel, and then you end up not catching anything. So you definitely want to devise a strategy for this so that way you can stay on the straight and narrow and know what your goals are before you go into it. Number two is audit your current marketing and add social media ingredients. And I think this is an excellent tip, because a lot of people think that social media is going to bail them out of the hole because they see all the stuff about, well, you can get in on these sites for free, and it can cut down your expenses. So they think that maybe one bad campaign over here, let's say you have a direct mail campaign, or maybe you're doing some television advertising or radio spots, they're not making you any money, so you think you're going to dig yourself out of the hole and look really good to the rest of the business by coming over and adopting a social media ingredient, so to speak. You're going to add that to the mix, and suddenly that's going to make up for all of the mistakes you've made in your other marketing campaigns, and that's just not the case. So I think this is an excellent point that deserves to be hammered home, because people think that this magic pill or the silver bullet is going to be social media, and wow, I can do a lot of this stuff for free, so, well, my ROI is going to be, I can get my ROI back in line to where I won't lose my job, or I won't look like an idiot, or I'll look like I actually know what I'm doing, because I'll be able to show a positive ROI on my whole marketing campaign as a whole, when really there might be just a couple little things that are making the money. So you need to analyze and audit your current marketing before you even start down the social media path.
All about ROI, baby.
That's right. And then number three is, where necessary, add new social media programs. That's another good tip. You don't want to jump into six different pools at one time thinking that, oh, well, you know, if I just blanket everything at one time, then I'll have to achieve success. If I throw enough stuff at the wall, something's got to stick. Go into each one of these with a specific strategy. Like for Twitter, it might be, all right, I want to generate more awareness with Twitter so I can connect with a lot of different people, generate awareness. Maybe with Facebook, I'm going to build relationships with people by commenting on their photos and getting to know these people, find out what really makes them tick, so forth and so on. LinkedIn might be, I'm going to ask my network specific questions that can help me serve them better. Maybe I might ask some insightful questions like, what are you currently struggling with in blah, 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 and then get some answers to that to where I can then go back and help these people and become a recognized expert in their view. And then maybe the next time they encounter this problem or obstacle or whatever, they'll think of me before they think of a competitor. So there's some different ideas of how you can add some social media programs and social media platforms to your marketing that you have a strategy for, you're focused on what you want to accomplish with each one, and then you can set some metrics that go along with that as opposed to just going in there blind and just winging it.
You're talking about we need a strategery?
Is that, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got to have some strategery.
All right. All right. Well, in some ways, you know, social media is like the two vultures hanging out on the power line, right? Looking around, they're saying, oh, hell with this waiting. Let's go down and kill something. I mean, sometimes social media is kind of like that. You're putting it out there, just, you know, waiting, to build up that presence for that pull marketing, if you will. And, you know, I wrote about it today on my blog. I'm going through some of the myths of social media marketing. And, you know, and the biggest is that it's free. And while it certainly costs nothing
right
monetarily to create a fan page and a Twitter account and all this other stuff, it does take time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to create all those, to integrate them, and then to keep them up to date. And so it's just one tool.
Yeah, and I would venture to say that most of the people listening, their per hour dollar figure for what they might equate their each hour of their time to be worth is far greater than most people's. So if you look at it in terms of that, let's say that you value your time at $100 an hour, just arbitrary figure, and you're spending 2-3 hours a day on social media. Are you getting the $200-$300 or the $100 an hour out of your other activities? Is social media producing $100 worth of return for every hour you're putting into it? I mean, that's the way that people need to start looking at this stuff, as opposed to, oh, it's free. Now, oh, yeah, it's free. It still takes your time, just like you say, Wes. And it also takes a lot of time to figure out how to appropriately go about using social media for your business, because a lot of people jump in and they think it's just, oh, if I go get a bunch of followers on Twitter, then I can blast out some links every day, and I'll get people to click on them, and they'll come buy my stuff. It's that easy. Well, it doesn't really work that way, because there's unwritten rules, there's written rules, there's etiquette involved. There's also, you know, you've got people's personalities to take into consideration. Some people they're going to get turned off by your blasting out an ad every single day, and I've beat up on one of the gurus before on the podcast, and I'll do it again because he consistently does this, yet he's come out with a Twitter product, which the Twitter product is centered around sharing ads with other Twitter users. So it's the guy still doesn't get it. It's like, dude.
Hey, don't we have a Twitter product?
We have a Twitter product, but we are not looking to share ads with other people of, hey, join my service so that way I can blast your ad out. We've got a Twitter product.
Why don't you remind our loyal, intelligent, savvy, professional listeners what that Twitter product is?
That Twitter product is, you can either learn how to use Twitter appropriately by going through the 7-day training course at twittertraffictornado.com, and or you can utilize us to help you build a relevant following with Twitter, which is twittertraffictornado.com/managed-Twitter-service.
Goodness gracious.
I know, it's a long URL, but, you know.
A lot of dashes.
Yeah, it is. Let me make sure that right. that's the right URL. And for $47 a month, we will go out and help you find relevant followers, so that way you're not spending all of your day clicking on people's profiles and then clicking on the follow button and then sending out a tweet or whatever. We'll do that all for you. We're not going to send out automated tweets because I think that's a bad practice, and we don't want to get people off on the wrong foot to where as soon as somebody follows you, they think that you're a spammer because you immediately hit them with a direct message back, hey, thanks for the follow, check out my product, blah, blah, blah. That's not the way to go about it. So we'll help you find relevant followers. We'll also show you, you get access to the training course when you enter this entire managed Twitter service as well. So we'll show you how to do it the right way and how to build your following and how to market your products in a way that's not obtrusive, it's not obnoxious, and you're not going to have people screaming spam every time that they see something posted by you.
Spam.
So thanks for the segue, Wes. That was good.
Hey, you know, I'm a highly trained broadcast, podcast, social media, editorial, columnist, expert.
Oh, that's something you mentioned, vultures, earlier, and this is a story that's not related, but yet it is related. You mentioned how the vultures, yeah, let's just go down and kill something because they're getting bored, or, you know, nothing's come along that they can go down and eat and be their little scavengers and everything else. this kind of relates in a way. Last summer, we're riding the bikes. There's a big group of us riding out we're way out in the sticks, out in the boonies. And we look up, and there's a couple of vultures just following right along with us. And I've jokingly said, you know, do they know something that maybe we don't know? Why do they keep following us? Well, I mean, not all of us are in really good shape, and we're not going to keel over and die anytime soon. So we started talking about that and everything else, and I don't know how it twisted back to marketing, but it did. And that's a prime example of the vulture didn't know its target audience. It's following the healthy people, thinking, oh, well, one of these these clowns is going to keel over any minute, and we'll be able to swoop in and get us some food. Well, it didn't know its target audience very well because it followed us for a while, and then finally you could tell the vultures were like, ah, hell, this isn't going to work. We might as well fly somewhere else and find a dead rabbit or something else that's been killed by a car or whatever else. But that's the same thing with social media. If you're following along, you're following the healthy people, and you're wanting to pick off one of them that's going to keel over any time, well, you're wasting a lot of your time. I mean, do the research into your target audience.
Hey, you know how many rednecks it takes to eat a rabbit?
How many?
Two. One's got to do the eating, and the other's got to look for cars.
But anyway, on that, you want to do the research into your target audience to see, are they on Twitter? Are you wasting your time by setting up a Twitter presence when maybe your target audience doesn't go there? Same thing with Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, Scribe, DocStock. I mean, you can go on down the line to all these different social media properties and do the research to see, hey, is my audience even there? Are they engaged in this service? Just because somebody has a Twitter profile doesn't mean they're actively using it, doesn't mean they're actively logging on to Twitter. You can check the updates and see how active is this person. You can also check their responses, their at responses, to see how many conversations have they had over the last 15 to 30 days to see if they're really active with the service. And you can formulate your strategy accordingly, depending upon where your audience is, how engaged they are, how active they are, and how receptive they are to other people approaching them and offering to start a conversation or whatever.
All right. So, hey, so back up. We're talking too much theory. Go back to what you just said about tracking their at responses, their activity, yada, yada. Describe that in more detail.
Well, I mean, you could go, let's say for you, Wes, let me go look at your profile real quick while we're here. You've got you're following 2,001 people. You've got 1,762 followers. Now, if I want to come down here and click on, let me see here, what do I want to look at? Obviously, you're following me back because I can look at that. But if I want to look at your, like, let's say I want to look at your followers.
Yep.
I can do that. I can look and see how many conversations have you initiated with them or how many have they initiated with you. I can look on your main page here and see how many people you're interacting with, how many you're, you know, initiating conversations with. But I can also look and see how many of your followers are initiating responses with you. So I can see you're also on five lists now, which, talk about this list thing. I see this listed, and I haven't done much with it. What's the scoop behind that?
Well, you know what's cool with these lists, and I've been doing a lot of it with Facebook. Man, what a time saver. But it's you can segment people. You know, it's amazing how few people do this in anything. And the closest thing I can equate it to is using Microsoft Outlook and categories for your contacts. So I've always done that. And the more info you have on your people, the better. You know, when I was just using Outlook many years ago, any info I could get on somebody, I would keep it. You know, are they a cigar smoker? Do they like NASCAR? Who's their favorite team? You know, sports team, whatever. Do they like football? Do they not like football? You know, so all of those could be things you could create lists for.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we do with Infusionsoft, right? Is target and segment our lists. Some people are interested in social media. Some are interested in copywriting. Some want web design work. Some are interested in direct mail. Some are interested in putting on workshops and seminars. So you've got to segment your list. So that's what these lists let you do. For instance, like on Facebook, the way I use it, because I haven't done enough on Twitter with lists, just haven't had a need to. My focus has been on Facebook right now, but I've got a Southern California list. I'm doing a lot of local speaking and workshops. So out of my hundreds and hundreds of friends, not all of them are local, right? But, you know, my friends in Boston, I don't need to invite them to the workshop I'm putting on next Wednesday the 11th at the University of Redlands.
Right.
You know, they're not coming out for that.
Right.
So lists help me segment it, and just with the click of a button, you know, I can invite several hundred people to things I'm doing in the local area. So that's really all a list is.
Yeah. And that's
but
a really good
but it
way.
Takes
that's
time.
Yeah,
right?
It takes time, and
you've
it's
got hundreds of thousands of followers. People, you know,
right.
You got to go in and you got to A, create your list, and B, go click on everybody and add them, which then takes discipline again, just like flossing and eating right. You know, when you get a new follower, you got to go in and add them to the proper list.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no, I think that's a good point too, because a lot of these new people to social media and everything else, they see the craze and they see, you know, Twitter's taking off like a space shuttle and everything else, and it's like a rocket going to the moon, and they see all of this, and we get a lot of questions about, okay, so how am I going to segment these people? And what you just outlined, Wes, is a good strategy for that. But again, it takes time to go out and find these people. Who's located in Temecula Valley, California? You know, you got to go out there and do the search to see, okay, how many of my followers are actually in the area? And then you go create your list that way. How many may, let's say, are Infusionsoft users? So you can then go in and create that. So that way, if you have an Infusionsoft specific event, you can invite those people to attend it. Like we do these webinars, that would be a great way to target just those people. And this is something that Twitter's added to their service that's a nice benefit, an added bonus, whatever you want to call it, and another feature that'll help people accomplish more with their social media. But back what I was saying before is I can just go through here and look through your tweets and see how many conversations has Wes had. How many at replies has he gotten from his tweets? So I can see how active you are with other people and determine from those interactions, what are you talking about with these people? Is it business? Is it personal? Are you talking about like your fantasy football? If you're talking about that, maybe I can chime in on that conversation. Say, you know, hey, I got a fantasy football team. My team's only instead of yours being 6-2, maybe mine's 4-3, or whatever, 4-4, whatever it might be. So I can talk to you about that stuff, but if I'm not paying attention to what it is you're having conversations about with others, and the other benefit of this is, if I join a conversation you're already having with others on Twitter, they all are going to see that. They're going to see, oh, you know, now this Roger person's joined in the conversation. I remember back it was either earlier this year or late last year, I got into a big debate with Michael Fortin and Sylvie Fortin about the follow back people. And his whole aversion to doing that is, hey, I don't want people direct mail spamming me. Well, I don't know if back then, I don't remember how the thing was set up. I thought you always had the ability to stop direct messages from coming straight to your inbox, but maybe that wasn't an option. So I understood his argument back then was, hey, I'm not going to follow people back even though they show an interest in me because I don't want to give them the ability to spam me directly to my email inbox. So that was a big debate. I mean, we went on for probably 45 minutes. Sylvie chimed in. Some other people chimed in. I mean, we probably had 10 to 12 people joining this conversation, but each time one of us replied to the other ones, and we included the at symbol in there to reply to them, all of their people saw that. So then we probably touched, I don't know, 5,000 people during that conversation at one point or another. And that's how you can build a following really quick. I don't encourage everybody to go out and start a big, debate about something. But if you get a conversation going to where you've got both sides, people with distinct sides to debate, then you can bring other people in and they will start to follow you. I probably gained 100 followers out of that whole debate in about 45 minutes time. And I wasn't out actively, going, hey, why don't you follow me? It was just they saw the conversation. Most people liked both sides of the argument, so to speak. I think at the end of it, we agreed to disagree. But, I see his point. He doesn't want to give people the ability to direct mail spam him. Okay, no big deal. I am one of those that thinks that if somebody shows an interest in me, I should return the favor. That's just the way I was raised, the way I was brought up. If somebody's going to go out of their way to take an interest in me, I should at least reciprocate to the point where I'll give you the opportunity to show me that I'm wrong. Once you prove that I'm wrong for returning the interest, then I can shut you off. And it's just like, okay, I'm going to ignore this person. Yeah. I mean, he's on the opposite side of the coin to where it's proved to me that I should return your interest. I mean, either way works. I mean, it's just a personal preference. But that's a way that you can go in and see, how active are these people that you're contemplating following or maybe that you're already following, and how can you get in on the conversation that's already going on?
Right.
Long-winded answer, but, I think we got the point across, and I think people can benefit from that whole little diatribe, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, so here's another one we can saw away at. Another post on social media today is 5 ways to achieve cross-media synergy with social media. There's that old corporate word from about 10 years ago, synergy. Let's find some synergies.
Mm-hmm.
But here it is popping up its lovely head again here with social media. But number one is social media plus search marketing. I do a lot of SEO stuff, and I think you do too as well, Wes. It's hard to distinguish good search engine optimization anymore from social media integration because they go hand in hand so much. You can get a lot of relevant links through social media. You can generate a lot of traffic. You can create awareness. Also, the social media properties such as Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, their links carry a lot of weight because there's so much content on these sites that the search engines love them. So as soon as you put something out, let's say you do a blog post on Facebook. Well, it's going to get out there very quickly because you're cranking out more content. The search engines are already there. Their crawlers are already all over Facebook, indexing all of this content that's going out. So you can get a lot of benefit from doing that. The second one is social media plus email. And I've seen a lot of people doing this. This is a good practice that I need to adopt myself, is they've got links below their signature that guide people to connect with them on, say, LinkedIn or Facebook or Twitter. So that way they can build that relationship that much more beyond maybe the only interactions you have with this person are they signed up on your freebie. to get into your autoresponder, so you're following up with them on every so many days with your follow-up sequences. Well, this is a way to connect with them in a more human way so that they can see, hey, Wes is a real person. Roger is a real person. They're experiencing the same things outside of business that I am, and I can relate to that. So the more you can build that relationship, the better off you are. So that's a practice that if you're not already doing that, that would be a good idea, is to add ways for people to connect with you outside of email through your social media profiles. And that's something I'm going to do, make a note to do that this week.
Very nice.
The next one is social media plus virtual events. And Wes, we do a pretty good job of this because I'm not trying to toot our horn, but we've got our podcast that we're doing on a daily basis that we are guiding to people to connect with us with our webinar. They can connect with us through the podcast. They can also connect with us when we do our live teleseminars or our live webinars. We've got ways for people to do that. So, I mean, this is a very easy way. Like on Twitter, I know before our last webinar, both of us were tweeting out, hey, we're going to do a live webinar tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific on the reasons only 5% of marketers make money with social media. So we were tweeting that around, and that was getting retweeted and spread all around. It was also carrying over to Facebook and LinkedIn. And, I mean, we got a ton of people to sign up through the LinkedIn link. So that worked very well. Twitter worked very well.
Yep.
Facebook helped us attract more people. So these virtual events give people a chance to see you strut your stuff, so to speak. I mean, if you're doing a webinar, then the people that show up, A, they're interested in the topic, more than likely, and B, they want to see more of what you're all about. So this gives you a chance to show that, hey, I really know my stuff. B, I'm a real person. And C, you can connect with me in multiple ways. So, I mean, this does a lot of good as well.
Right.
Number four is social media plus live events. Now, this is something that you do, Wes, and you've got you do your thing at the College of the Redlands to where you're giving your social media events there, or you're using social media to drive traffic to your live local events. And
right.
Just like you said earlier, you're segmenting people based on where they live, so that way you invite people who live in your area to attend the events versus, like, if you invited me to attend, obviously I can't attend because I'm in Louisville unless I fly out there. And that's cost prohibitive, so it doesn't make sense to invite me to the event, but yet it does for the people in your backyard.
Everybody wants to see you, though. If the Kentucky Headhunter would show up, I could charge more.
Well, then we're going to have to arrange another event.
I'm going to have to send my jet out for you, huh?
That's right. A little private airfield here. Actually, we do need to schedule another event. That's not a bad idea. I mean, I know we're saying that in jest, but that isn't a bad idea at all.
I know.
And here's another one. The fifth and last one is social media plus market research. We've already talked about this quite a bit on this podcast, but research your target audience. See whether they're engaged in these social media sites. I mentioned before, you know, are they Twittering? How active are they on Twitter? Are they on Facebook? Are they posting regular pictures? Are you commenting on their pictures? Are other people commenting on their pictures? Because when you comment on a picture that somebody else has commented on, they get an update saying, hey, Wes commented on the picture you just commented on, so that draws you back to the site. So then you can then interact with those people by commenting on the same photo. So then you get
right.
Exposure to those people, and it's a harmless thing. I mean, you're going out there, and it's just like the other day I made a post about somebody's picture, and I think the thing ended up getting 16 different people to post a comment about it. Well, I didn't know who 14 of the 16 people were. So those are people that I got exposure to that I otherwise wouldn't know anything about and have any reason to even go look for them, but there they are posting their comment about this girl's picture. That was funny, and you know that was all it was, a harmless little comment, but we all got exposure to one another, so we can expand our circle of influence very easily by just commenting on a little picture. But
right.
Back to the market research, that's something that you can do. I mean, you can go look at somebody's Facebook profile and see where do they tend to hang out. I mean, I'm not encouraging people to be a stalker. Let me say that. Let me preface this, or as my Kentucky, I wouldn't call him a buddy, but the enemy Kentucky fan said, let me preference this. See, it all ties back in, Wes. We can always tie it back in. But you can see where people are, where their circles are. Where are they going? I mean, are they Starbucks customers? Are they? Do they go to live events? Do they go to webinars? Do they attend those? Do they get on teleseminars? Do they have a circle of influence that's pretty tight, or do they have a widespread circle of influence to where they've got a bunch of people with a bunch of different interests? All of this stuff can serve you well as you set out on your social media campaigns, but it also helps you to realize or to figure out who the influencers are. And you've got a lot of books that have been written about the new influencers and how the conversations travel very quickly and how there are 6 degrees of separation. I mean, you've got all these different concepts. But if you find somebody who's got a very diverse following and you can strike up a conversation with that person to the point where other people get exposure to you in a non-obtrusive way, that's a good thing.
Those big words again, man.
But I guess the take-home out of that, the main take-home, is you can learn a lot about people in a short amount of time through social media if you do your homework.
Well, you can learn a lot about a few people or a little about a lot,
mm-hmm.
but it's still time.
Yeah.
But then that's what you got to figure with your own business. Can you benefit from listening? You know,
right.
Now in the sales training that I do, I've always talked about that. You know, you've got 2 ears, 1 mouth, use them accordingly, right? Or proportionately.
Right.
So social media is great at getting market feedback. You know, we talked before about less of a need for focus groups and things like that because your company, by throwing out some good topics, some good questions, can see what the market's really up to. You know, one thing I've been able to get a lot of feedback on is using LinkedIn and using groups.
Yeah.
Putting questions out there to specific groups that I belong to really get some good feedback and insight into what a particular market is thinking. You know, so things like Yahoo Answers, you know, are free ways to see what the market really wants and where what's the pulse, right? Because the biggest thing I learned when becoming an information marketer, internet marketing, was, and it's opposite of what you always hear in business, but, you know, they say sell your product first, then go build it.
Yeah.
That was the craziest thing. What are you talking about? Now, a lot of times we're dealing with digital products that can be made relatively quickly if you've got the knowledge and the resources. But the idea was before you spend a year, 2 years, you know, writing this some big volume or manifesto, you know, see if the market wants it. See if you can get any orders. You know, I was just talking with a lady this morning. She built some little portal for our local community, and I'm like, who's – they got all these shopping centers listed, and I'm saying, who's paying for that? She says, well, none yet. Once you went and paid somebody to build this site and listed all this, you don't have any paying advertisers?
Right.
You know, I was like, okay, good luck.
I mean, that's the same example that I'm going through with this List Samurai program is talking to all these different business owners. If I step back, which they've all given me the answers, I've just chosen to say, oh, they want social media. Oh, they want search engine optimization. Oh, they want this. No, what they want is leads. And that's what brought me back to, I've had this, I told you yesterday, Wes, I had this ebook created a year ago and had planned to do videos and everything else because I thought back then, this would be a great product, but I didn't have people telling me over and over and over because I wasn't asking the question or listening enough, closely enough to hear. They want leads. Search engine optimization is a tactic to help you attract more leads. Social media.
No, they don't even want leads. They want closed business.
Well, yeah, they want closed business, but, I mean, how do you get there? You got to have a lead. Somebody's got to understand that you're out there or realize, discover that you're out there before they're going to buy your product. They're going to do a little digging. They're going to do a little research and try to figure out if you're legitimate and whether they should part with their money to either buy your service or product or whatever it happens to be. But that's a prime example. I mean, all these people have been telling me this for 2, 3, 4 years, and instead of just creating that product, I focused on all these other ones, when really I should have started with this one and then created the other ones. So I'm backing into it, but at the same time, that's an example of if you just listen, people will tell you what they want, then you can go out and build it.
Yep.
I mean, it sounds so simple. It's like, well, duh. Who doesn't know that? Well, duh is right, but at the same time, how many of us really do that?
Mm,
I mean,
most people don't.
We've got our prospects telling us.
That's why they get into trouble.
Yeah. I mean, they tell us exactly what they want, and we overthink it. It's paralysis by analysis. We sit there and we second guess it. Or, well, they're saying they want this, but they really want this.
Yep.
No, they're saying exactly what they want, so go give it to them.
Yep.
And then, just like in this instance, once you figure out how to capture leads, follow up with them, generate sales, then you can start plugging in all of this other stuff. If you want to learn search engine optimization, you can do it. You want to learn pay-per-click marketing. You want to learn social media marketing. You want to learn how to do video marketing the right way to where you can attract more traffic. I mean, we can help you do all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, and you always say this, Wes, you want to guide people back to something that will capture a lead.
Yep.
And so you offer them something, a freebie or something that's a low cost to them where they share their first name and email address, and you'll give them something of value to prove that you're legitimate, that you know what you're talking about, that you're
right
there to help. But a lot of people overthink this too. It's okay, I want to set up a social media profile so I can go promote my affiliate links left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's say we do that. Let's go down that path. I set up a social media profile and I get, let's say I go out to Twitter and I get 1 million people following me. And I send out my little tweet and I encourage them to go to my affiliate link, and I hoodwink some of them into actually thinking that it's legitimately me behind the product. They discover once they get on the website that it's an affiliate link. Some of them are going to be offended because they think that you're trying to cover something up. Others are just going to go ahead and go through with it. But who have you built the list for?
Yep.
You've built the list for the affiliate, not for you. So you can't follow up with that person again and offer them another product. So you need to be able to generate your own leads, and then you can go out and offer somebody else's product if that's what you want to do. Or you can go out and offer your own product even better, because you'll make more money when you have your own product and you can have your own support system and so forth and so on. You can still make a lot of money with affiliate marketing by generating leads, but you want to generate leads for yourself first and foremost, so then you can create that automated income stream every so often when you press send on the email. You send out a broadcast email, you make money. It's a beautiful thing. If you generate the list for somebody else, they press send, they make money. You don't make money once they've captured that first little sale that you've sent to them. And that's why a lot of these gurus are doing so well, is because they've gotten people accustomed to going out and, as Seth Godin says, sneezing their affiliate link. Well, they got these affiliate links going everywhere, and people are clicking them, and they're seeing 8 gazillion affiliate links going out there, so they start to think this product must be great because everybody's talking about it. But at the end of the day, the guru has the list, not the people promoting the affiliate link. So, different way to think about it.
Good point, brother. Ready to wrap this up?
I am.
All right.
Remind me tomorrow that my word of the day is seed.
Man, you expect me to remember stuff like that?
I'll write it down, because this is one that I think, if you haven't cracked up at our little definitions thus far, tomorrow's word will definitely crack you up.
So, you know why the redneck drove his pickup truck over the edge of a cliff?
Why is that?
He wanted to test out his new air brakes.
Now, that's pretty good.
It just ain't right.
No, it isn't. Well, we've already given one plug for the Twitter traffic tornado. If you want to watch the webinar we did a couple weeks back on why only 5% of marketers make money with social media, just go to marketingvirtualseminar.com, marketingvirtualseminar.com, all one word. You can register there. Doesn't cost anything. It's about an hour-long presentation that we did that we sold out a few weeks back and did it again because we didn't get a recording. Well, we got a recording this time, so hop on over there and check that out. And Wes has got a really good Facebook 20.1 Facebook tips. How do they get a hold of that, Wes?
Just hit the saleswhisperer.com, top right-hand side, first name and email. You'll be reading it within milliseconds of hitting the enter key.
That's right, because those bits and bytes are going to come traveling all over the place.
Craziness.
Right to your inbox.
Craziness.
All right.
Yeah, I love it. All right. Do it again tomorrow.
Yes.
Same bat time. Same bat channel.
That's right.
All these requests I'm getting. All these fans want to join. Man, I might have to go click on some people. Y'all have a great day.
See ya.
Talk with you tomorrow.